Let's go to Lord in prayer before we get started here.
Heavenly Father, thank you for our time in your word. Thank you for this study, Lord, as we've gone all these weeks of just looking at the gifts and how we can use them. And Lord, understanding that these gifts are given to us by your Holy Spirit and given to us individually so that we as a collective body can be a complete body working for your honor and for your glory. Lord, we just thank you for wanting to use us. Thank you for giving us these gifts. And now, Father, as we understand them and as we see what it is that you've equipped us for, now, Lord, give us the ability to do them. Give us the opportunity to use these gifts. Father, we do want to bring honor and glory to you, and we just want you to get all the praise for it. And so just help us, Lord, to find areas that we can use these gifts, use them to their fullest, and, Lord, that we would be a strong and unified and complete church in you, Lord. Father, just be with our time here this morning, this Sunday school hour. Just, Father, just give us some wisdom, and just please just bring everything together and in just a great way this morning, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you, if you would, before we get to the test and get into that discussion, if you would, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. So we had referred to, we know the passages that talk about the spiritual gifts, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, and then also we came to Ephesians 4. But there were some aspects of Ephesians 4 that we did not address, and so I want to just briefly touch on them this morning, because they're not so much, they are gifts, but they're gifts used in a particular office. Okay, so I just want us to see this. So in Ephesians 4, verse 11, you know, we've certainly hit on these verses as we've been going through this study, but I just want to take just a few moments this morning and just kind of just wrap this up. But Ephesians 4, verse 11, it says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers." Now, we know from verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. When we looked at the spiritual gifts, and we looked at exhortation, and we looked at teaching, and we looked at mercy, and all these different ones, we know that there is a gift of teaching. We've already spent some time on that. There are people that the Holy Spirit just gives that ability to just really break things down and people to be able to understand as they are sharing those things. But I wanted to just show here in these verses, specifically verse 11, you know, when we look at the evangelist, the pastor, and teacher, in the spiritual gifts, we find the gift of teaching. Here we find pastors and teachers. And so, and I know that Pastor Boyce has said this before and such, but you know, that it could be the pastor slash teacher. You know, we certainly understand that the pastor has to have an ability to teach as well. You know, he's pastoring, he's leading the flock, and we'll get into that in a minute. But just that ability to teach, and the Holy Spirit gives him those abilities, the ability to pastor, the ability to teach, but also the evangelist, you know. There is a gift for evangelism, and, you know, the gift of evangelism really could be looked at in a twofold manner. There's that personal aspect, which, you know, all of us are supposed to be an evangelist to some degree, in the fact that we're spreading the gospel and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ and so forth. But there are some that just have the ability to share the gospel in a way that, quite frankly, to me, sometimes is just, I'm just amazed by it, really. Because they can take any topic of life, any event of life, anything that's going on, and they can work it around into such a way that they can use it as an avenue of sharing the gospel, you know? I've heard men use working on a car. I've heard people talk about camping. I've heard other men talk about using hunting and fishing and things like that. Now, for me, my mind doesn't wire that way all the time, you know? I can talk about hunting and camping and fishing and those things. But my mind doesn't automatically go to, well, how can I share the gospel through this example, you know? But there are some people that do that, you know? Now, when an opportunity arises, we certainly take that, and we have that responsibility to share the gospel, but there are some that just have this ability to just, no matter what's going on in life, be able to just use whatever is placed before them and use that. The office of the evangelist is, you know, being able to share that gospel, being able to preach the gospel message. But then there's also like a pioneering aspect. You know, there are people that have this ability as an evangelist to be able to look at an area and go, wow, this area needs a church, and really in their minds be able to just lay out a plan to make that happen. I have referred to this before as the church planter's mentality, you know. There are people in ministry that are pastors, and God has given them that ability to pastor and to lead a flock. And there is others that have that gift of planting a church, and they can just see an area, and they can just see where God is going to just, what he's going to do, and they can see an empty building and go, oh, we could use that, and this could be this, you know. And I know of a church planter over in Maine, and they actually bought an old rundown school building and are converting it and making it into a church, and they're meeting in this church, and they've got all the classrooms in the world, you know, they've got a gymnasium already, they've got all these things. But you know, in my mind, I'm looking at it and I'm going, oh, it's too bad that school's closed down, you know. And he looked at it and went, hey, that's a great place for a church, you know. And he did, and you know, God's blessing over there and using that. So there is that aspect as well, and we certainly see examples throughout the Bible of them. Philip was a good example of that. Peter and Paul, of course. You know, we just see many examples there. So the evangelist, you know, there is a gift of that, but it's also an office. It's also a calling of that, you know, where God will place that call upon a man to be that evangelist and to start churches and go places and see the work continued and grow there. And then pastors, of course, we understand that there is a gift there as well. It takes a very special, I want to say it takes a very special person, but it's the equipping of God in that person. We understand that. To be able to stand in front of a group of people that are of all different walks of life and open the scriptures and preach and just be able to lead unify and help us to grow in our spiritual relationship with God but to preach the whole counsel of God as well. And, you know, there's just a big responsibility there, and God does equip certain men for that. For that purpose. I just want to share a couple of verses with you. I'm sure they're familiar to you if you've been in a church any amount of time. But in Acts 20 and verse 28, we see here that Paul is giving some encouragement here. And Acts 20, verse 28, it says this, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood." And as I was studying this and going over this again, I thought it very interesting that when we're looking at the spiritual gifts and looking at what the Holy Spirit has enabled certain people to do, we see here that Paul actually references that in verse number 28. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." You know, it's a very special, very unique relationship for a pastor and a congregation. You know, if you've been through a situation, I'm sure that you have, but if you've ever been through a situation where you find yourself without a pastor and you have to look for a pastor, you know, not that we're looking for a pastor, okay? But if you ever find yourself in that situation as a church body, the church body is praying, and then somewhere there's some man praying about a church that God would have him to go to. And then to have God put that church and that man together to work is just an amazing thing. That's just God's hand in that, and just in doing that. And so, putting that person in that position to lead and to guide and to also encourage in their Christian walk and to help with that. And so we know that they have that ability. They hold that office. First Peter, of course, is a passage that we go to a lot when talking about the pastor. And in First Peter chapter 5, starting at verse 1, it says, "The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. You know, in verse 2 here, it's talking about the pastor's his holding that office or being in that position. You know, nobody twisted his arm to do that. God put that in him and is using him in that way. He's willing to do that. He's not doing it for money. He's not doing it for financial gain, but he's just doing it to be used of the Lord. And it says, taking the oversight thereof. In verse 3, it says, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, in verse number 3, there are, I'm not going to give examples, but there are definitely examples out there, and maybe someone would come to your mind, of a person that held the office of pastor and did it in a lording way, that just lorded over them and such. And, you know, I had a pastor one time that wanted Becky to do something. And so he goes, there's something that I would like for you to do. And she said, well, she goes, we'll pray about it. And she says, and I need to discuss it with my husband. And he goes, oh, well, I'm going to pull rank here. And as your pastor, I'm going to, and Becky went, ooh, hang on. No, you can't do that. You can't do that. You know, and Pastor Andrew did a great job when he was talking about the different roles. And, you know, we have the God instituted government, he instituted family, he instituted the church. And then, you know, being careful that one doesn't go into an area that it shouldn't be, you know. And so, you know, the pastor, and it wasn't a spiritual thing. It wasn't for her spiritual growth or something like that. It was just I want you to do this, and I'm demanding that you do it. And she was like, no. Now, don't get the wrong idea. She was not in a rebellious spirit or anything like that. But it was just, you know, she just didn't feel that was what she should do, and she was going to talk it over with me. We talked it over, and we both agreed, no, this is not something you should do. And we, you know, we did talk to the pastor about it and so forth. But, you know, sometimes we do see situations like that. But in 1 Peter chapter 5, we see in verse number 3, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And then it says in verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You know, the responsibility that's put on the pastor is a great responsibility. And, you know, there's going to come a day when he's going to stand before the Lord and give an account for it, not just his life, but his ministry as well. And it's just a staggering and humbling thing to think about. And so it's just amazing that God would work in people's hearts in that way. In a congregation that they would call the pastor, in the pastor's heart that he would be willing to go and be willing to lead and be able to hold that position and take that position. So, again, just in wrapping this up, I wanted to come back to Ephesians 4 and just talk about it. There are gifts associated with these offices, but really in the context of the scriptures, we see that they are offices. Now, when we look at the gifts, and we did look at the gifts in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and in Romans chapter 12, we saw them listed out. We spent a number of weeks going through them and talking about them one by one and so forth. And then last week, you know, I passed out the spiritual gifts test, and we'll get to that in just a moment here. But, you know, one question comes up often, and it's a good question, and it's this. Do our spiritual gifts change? Do they change over time? You know, as we grow in the Lord, do we develop other spiritual gifts? You know, we know from the scriptures, especially 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12, that the Holy Spirit gives us gifts individually to be used in the body. Now, as we grow in the Lord, we may see the numbers change a little as far as, you know, maybe we score a little bit higher in this one, but maybe a little bit lower in this one and so forth. But generally, that spiritual gift that you are using, that the Holy Spirit has given you, we usually don't see that change in the gift, but sometimes we do see a change in the being able to use that gift. Of course, time marches on. Our bodies change. We get older. There are certain things that we're not able to do, you know. Someone with the gift of teaching when they were younger might have been involved in Master's Club and VBS and Sunday school and were just going and going and going and going. But now they find themselves in their 60s or their 70s, and they still have that gift of teaching, but maybe they're doing more discipleship, more one-on-one, more, you know. I know this. My days of getting down and rolling around on the floor with a bunch of kids is done. It's over, you know. But you know, there are those that can do that. They can just have that excitement, have that energy and stuff. So that doesn't mean that you have lost the gift of teaching, but maybe it has changed a little bit as life goes on. Physical abilities change, things like that. So anyhow, that being said. Can we see other gifts maybe grow a little bit? Maybe your gift was, we'll stay on teaching. Maybe you have you had a big number in teaching, but maybe in helps it was a little bit lower. Maybe you see helps come up a little bit or something, you know. But still, the gift is going to be the gift. So you know, we did take the test, you know, over this last week. Hopefully, you took it and looked at it and everything. Hopefully it wasn't a big surprise to you. So I'm not going to ask anybody to share or anything like that, but was anybody surprised by what their gift is? Was there anybody surprised? Okay. All right, good. Was anybody surprised at the low one?
Yes. Okay, yes.
You know, it's true. We don't really think about it. We think about, okay, you know, there's things that we like to do, and there's things that we want to be used of. We know that God wants to use us in his church. We know that he's got a plan for us, and we're all to be used together. No one gift is more important than the other. We saw that explained very well in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And so now we all using those gifts together just are that body, that complete body. And so now let's think about this. How can we use that gift? You know? Maybe you do have the gift of mercy. Well, how can you use the gift of mercy? You know, there are opportunities that arise in the church where the gift of mercy can be used. And, you know, it might be visiting somebody at the hospital. It might be sitting with a sick friend. It might be preparing a meal for somebody so that they don't have to do that. You know, there's opportunities like that. How about the exhortation? You know, how can we use exhortation? Well, you know, how about, you know, when you hear, you know, something goes out on the prayer chain or goes out on the emails and there's a prayer, you know, to be lifting that person up in prayer. Maybe you might be sitting here some Sunday and you might notice somebody and they just seem a little bit low today. Maybe they just don't seem like their old self. They don't have that same smile and that same you know, sparkle in their eye or whatever. And you might notice that. God allows you to see that. So you go to them just quietly and you just say, hey, I just want you to know I'm praying for you. I just want you to know. I don't need to know what's going on in your life. I don't need details or anything like that. But I just want you to know God's laying on my heart, and I'm just praying for you. How many of you ever received a text through the week and not been expecting it, but you get a text from somebody and they go, hey, just wanted you to know God laid you on my heart, and I'm just lifting you up in prayer. Boy, doesn't that encourage you? Doesn't that help you? You know? What about the gift of helps? You know, how can I use the gift of helps? Well, we got church-wide coming up. you know, we got a lot of stuff we got to get in there. We got a lot of stuff we got to get out. There's things to be done. There's sandwiches to be made. There's all of these things. You know, there's just where can I be used? How can I get in there and be a part of that? But you know, that's just one example. You know, what about day to day after that? How can I help? You know, there's a lot of things that take place at the church that a lot of us just take for granted. You know. How many of us have taken for granted that, you know, after Sunday morning, there's going to be hot coffee and snacks somewhere, you know? Well, how can I help to be a help in that? How can I encourage somebody in that, you know? So just some different things, different aspects and whatnot. So anybody want to share what their gift might be? And I'm not looking to put anybody on the spot. I just want to open it up. Does anybody want to maybe share what their gift might be? Or maybe if they were surprised by it, you know, that what it might be. But, oh, look at that. Nobody's looking at me now. Everybody's
got this going on.
No. Don't look at me. Don't look at me.
All right. Well, if you would take your Bibles, turn to Romans chapter 12 with me.
Romans chapter 12. Boy. I will say this, if you have any questions about it or you want to discuss it further or something like that, please feel free, come find me. I'm not hard to find. I'm usually sitting somewhere right up here. So I'd be happy to talk to anybody about it. But I want to just wrap up with this, Romans chapter 12. We've spent some time here. I just want to conclude with Romans chapter 12. In verse number 1 and 2, two very, very familiar verses to us, says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I find it interesting that in chapter 12, he starts here with, I beseech you, or he's imploring them, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Not a dead one, but a living one. One that's active, one that has life, one that is doing things. I find it very interesting that he starts chapter 12 this way, and then eventually here in just a few verses gets into using our spiritual gifts. You know, we are to be a living sacrifice. We are to give ourselves completely to the Lord and let the Lord use us in the way that he desires. We know that through his Holy Spirit, he has given us gifts to be used in his service. And so we need to do that. I mean, just finding out what our spiritual gift is isn't enough. Now we need to put it into use. We need to put it into practice. We need to get using it. Maybe you already are. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Keep going. Keep doing that. It's what God wants. He wants us living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto God. And you know what? It's your reasonable service. Why wouldn't you? I mean, when you stop and think about what God has done for you, you know? And then really stop and think about that too. God, not only has he saved your life, not only has he saved your soul, not only through the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross, and shedding his blood and rising again. Not only do we have that hope of eternal life, but now he's also given us a work to do, and he's given us the abilities to do that work. I mean, it's amazing. So why wouldn't we? It's our reasonable service. Of course, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. As you grow in the Lord, as you spend time in his word, and as you pray, and as you are brought along in your Christian life, and as you grow in him, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. You know, we saw that in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, where, you know, we all have different gifts, but we're not to put more emphasis or more importance on one gift and not another. You know, they're equally important. And, you know, you might have a gift that in your mind you might think, oh, that's pretty cool. I got that gift, you know. But be careful. Don't get too prideful about that. Don't lift yourself up over that. Just look at it that, wow, God gave me that ability. Now I need to use it for his service and for his honor, for his glory. In verse 4, he says this, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. You know, we're in this thing together, folks. We are. And, you know, we all have our struggles. We all have our good days. We all have our bad days. We all have those weeks where it seems like the devil's turning up the heat a little bit, you know. And then we have other times where we've just come through a trial and the Lord's given us a little bit of reprieve and we're kind of catching our breath and things are seeming pretty good right now. But, you know, there's other members in the body that are struggling maybe at that time, you know. We're all in this together. So being many are one body in Christ, that everyone members one of another. And then he says, and these verses, of course, we've looked at a lot, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. And then he continues on, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil, cleave to that which is good. Look at this, be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and in honor preferring one another. You ever had anybody look at you and go, hey, it's not about you? You know? I mean, honestly, it's not about me, it's about us. And more importantly, it's about him. Really. That's really what it is about. Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, and honor preferring one another. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. You know, our testimony as we work. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, these are the things that we are supposed to do on a daily basis, you know? We are rejoicing in hope. We have that hope of eternal life. We have that hope of salvation that we are going to be at one day. We are going to be with the Lord. But there's a work to do here while we're here. Say, well, how do I know when my work is over? You won't be here. It really is that simple. I shared with you the testimony of that lady that got saved when she was in her 80s. And she was sick. She was dying of cancer. And I got called to her house, and she got saved. And then a few weeks go by, and I called to her house again, and she's almost in as much of a panic as when she was unsaved. And I go in, I say to her, I go, what is wrong? Why are you so upset? She says, I've lived 80, I think it was 86 years at that point. I've lived 86 years without the Lord. I've known the Lord for 2 weeks. Is he mad at me? I said, no, he's not mad at you. What makes you think he's mad at you? She goes, he won't take me. Why am I still here? I mean, she was bedridden. Cancer was eating her up. There wasn't much that she could do. And she goes, why am I still here? I said, because God's got a plan for you. Laying in this bed? And I said, absolutely. I said, because 2 weeks ago you were scared to die and now you're looking forward to it. And you got family coming in here and you need to tell them why. She was like, oh, I never thought of that. You know? I never thought of that. So it doesn't matter what your physical condition is. If you're still here, God's got something for you to do. Find, and use that. I've known people that were housebound, but they were such great prayer warriors. They were just constantly praying for the body, praying for people, praying for the leadership of the church, just praying for missionaries, just hours they would spend in prayer, just faithfully praying. I said, I can't do anything else. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm okay with knowing that they're there praying like that, you know? In verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. Verse 13, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. You know, you can use those verses in some of those gifts we talked about. Mercy, helps, exhortation. Things like that. Even administration, really. There comes a point where it's nice to have some help doing the things that are being done at the church, you know? To have somebody that has that ability to be able to pitch in and do it, but to do it in a right way, you know? Decently and in order and so forth, you know? In verse 14, bless them which persecute you and bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. Boy, it's easy to rejoice with people that are rejoicing, isn't it? It's tough to weep with somebody who's weeping. But you know, we need that. We need that. There are times when life throws some very, very traumatic events at us. And maybe the only thing that we can do is just cry out to God and weep. Boy, it's nice to have a brother or a sister in Christ come alongside you. And sit down and just weep with you. Just put their arm around you and let you know that they're there and that they're going to help you through. Rejoice with them that do rejoice. You know, like I said, we all want to rejoice. We all want to do that. But you know what? If we weep with them that weep and we pray with them and we help them, hopefully we get to the point where we're rejoicing with them also. You know? Wow, look what God did. Look how God worked. Look how God helped. You know, I didn't have to go through this alone. Verse 16, be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Interesting how over and over again in Paul's writings, he deals with humility and being humble and such. Verse 17, recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You know, bad things get done and Bad people do them. God will take care of it in the end. God will take care of it in the end. And we just need to leave it in his hands. And we need to just be about serving him. You know, the devil can use a bad situation in your life to sideline you from what God wants you to do. And you need to recognize that. You know, maybe there's something that's come into your life and it's totally sidetracked you. You know, here I was going along, I was faithfully having my devotions, I was growing in the Lord, and then this event happened, and boy, it's been a week since I read my Bible. It's been a month since I prayed. It's been, you know what, confess that and then get back into it, because the devil wanted to sidetrack you, and he did. But you know what? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Bring that before the Lord, and then get back to God. Get back to what he wants you to do. In verse 20, it says, therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Boy, it's tough to do that. But you know, with the Holy Spirit's help and with God's help, you can certainly do it. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. You know, as we go forward from here and, you know, days and weeks ahead and so forth and whatnot, God's given us a work to do. And he wants us to work together. And he wants us to be a strong and a healthy and a unified body. And you know, we have a responsibility to do that. It is our reasonable service. God wants us to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable unto God. So let's find those opportunities, look for those opportunities. You know what, maybe you're having a hard time finding an opportunity. Ask God. Go to the Lord in prayer and say, you know, I know what my gift is. I know what you've given to me. How can I now use that? And he'll tell you. When he tells you, when he lays something on your heart, don't argue. You understand? Sometimes we like to do that. Lord, what do you want me to do? I want you to do this. Not that, Lord. You know? No. If you really do want to know, ask the Lord. And he'll show you. He'll direct you. And then just be willing to do what he would have you to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the study that we've had on the spiritual gifts. And Father, as we go forward from here, and Lord, I just pray that you would use each one of us for in the way that you would be most honored and glorified. Help us to be sensitive, Lord, to your leading and sensitive to needs and just ways that we can use these spiritual gifts. Father, thank you for just equipping us and enabling us in such a manner. Father, we just pray this morning for the morning's message, and just please be with Pastor Andrew, just use him this morning, and speak to our hearts, Lord, prepare our hearts, even right now, for the word that we opened, and Lord, our fellowship and our time together, the singing of the songs. Lord, I just pray that everything we do today would just bring honor and glory to you, and please, Lord, today, just help us get just even a little bit closer to you. Father, thank you for just everything you've done for us, Lord. We just thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.